Good morning. Always wanted to do that. I said that in the first service, and I yelled it, and all the old, or the 8:30 people were like, woo, let's go, get some energy up in here. Okay. Let's try to get through this one without crying, but, so my name's Ryan Batchelor. My mom's over there, the Elrods are my other family, and I'm the drummer, of course. I just graduated from Lakeland Christian Academy on Friday, and I'm going to Abilene, going to Hardin-Simmons to be a nurse. So that's where I'm heading. Thank you. So when you graduate, people are always there to say, like, there's a fork in the road. And until about a month ago, I thought it was an actual fork in the road. It turns out it's not. It's not as interesting. It's just two different ways. Okay, so it's not as interesting, if you ask me. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. So my favorite analogy on life is from my coach and Bible teacher, Coach Earhart. And he always says, life is like one of those indoor roller coasters that's in the dark. You can't see what's coming ahead, but you know that you're going to make it all right. And so he says, just to stick your hands up in the air, praise God and enjoy the ride because he has a plan for you. And so my dad was one of the biggest influences in my life. He taught me everything I pretty much love, of sports, soccer, baseball. He showed me his clips of football, which made me want to play football, which is my mom kind of was iffy about. But she got me a good helmet so I didn't, like, get a concussion or whatever. And I played all the way through high school. And one of those important things is my dad took me, my brother, and my mom to church. And he planted a seed within us. So, like, we always had that through our lives, whether we knew it or not. And that was super important seeing it now. I lived a pretty normal life other than being homeschooled. Okay. until about sixth grade, but that comes later in the story. And so when I was about seven or eight years old, my dad went in for a normal checkup and to check his blood levels and all that jazz. You know, when you all get up there, you gotta check. And they saw that his white blood level count was really low. And so they went and they took more tests to make sure it wasn't just like a fluke and they didn't mess up or the system didn't mess up. And turns out he had pre-stage leukemia. And so this is kind of where my whole journey starts. He was in the hospital doing chemo just so he can get prepared to get a bone marrow transplant. And so he went and we found it was one out of a billion people have the same type of blood to get bone marrow from to not go horribly wrong. And even then it's still not even a 50-50 chance. And so he had the bone marrow transplant and it didn't go completely to plan. His body started rejecting it. He lost all of his hair from chemo already. Skin was starting to reject, and everything else was kind of just not falling into place. He lost his voice, and he wasn't able to talk after a while. But he always made sure to know that he loved us. That was one of his biggest things, to make sure that we knew before he did go. He fought every step of the way. He taught me one of the biggest things was to fight. Don't fight for yourself. Fight for everyone around you. Because it's not really about you. It's about God, honestly. And all you can do is make God happy and other people happy, then you're living the right life. So he fought his hardest. There's never a point where he told us he wanted to give up, but he asked us before he passed away, can I go? And we told him, yes, you can go. You fought long enough. The amount of pain that he was in, the nurses didn't even want to go in the room. Because you just scream almost in agony because how bad it was. But and so that proves just like what we saw and just how important he was to me. But seeing that was honestly horrible to me. And after he passed away, I was angry. I was just mad. I didn't want to hear about God. I didn't want to see any murals of Jesus. I didn't want to see anything. I was mad. Like, when you're a kid and someone steals something from you and you break something, you're just angry. And there's nothing about it that you can fix. You're just angry. So for a while, I was just mad. And then time passed by and I still just left God. in the past. And then my brother just went to play a soccer game one day. I'd go to all the other ones normally, and for some reason, I was just like, I don't want to go to this one. I'll stay home. It's late. It was like an 8:30 game or something like that, and I was like, I'm going to bed. I'm like 10, 12 or something like that, and I would go to sleep on the couch watching, like, some TV. I don't remember what it was, and then I wake up, and it's like 10, 11, I think like 10:30 maybe, and I call my mom from the home phone. They don't have a phone yet, and I'm like, where are y'all? Like, shouldn't y'all be home? And she goes, we're in the ER. And I'm like,
what?
What do you mean? Like, what did I miss from this game? Like, did someone get hurt? And come to find out, Preston got a severe concussion. Preston, my brother, he's a striker. He was. And then a defender came and he cleared the ball and hit his head. And it went, like, near a soccer field and a half away from where it hit his head. And so he had a severe concussion. He forgot a lot of very important things, like just math, English, or not like English, like the language, but like grammar, setting up different writing, and emotions were gone. He'd smile, but he didn't know why he was smiling. He didn't know like what happy was, what sad was, or if he was frustrated, or he was normally frustrated because he couldn't think of anything. He didn't really know. And so my mom couldn't homeschool me anymore, and because she had to reteach him everything. And so I went to Lakeland's for my sixth grade year, and that was the first time in an actual school. So me, out of my element, had no idea what was going on. And so I met most of my like good friends I still know today. I just saw them yesterday because all the grad parties are going on, you know, grad season. Everyone's eating crawfish and cake and gaining a couple pounds, but that's okay. God doesn't judge. And so I went on, I played football. I met my coach, Harper. He's like my third dad. And then I went to seventh grade, and you go to the third floor, which everyone thinks is haunted. And that's where I met the Elrods, because I did choir. I was the only boy in choir. There was this kid named Johnny, but he kind of just sat in the corner and sung to himself. But that's where I met the Elrods. And I think that's where my life like took a huge turn of the leaf, you know. Heather was so welcoming, all of her friends. It was like Danny, Lily. You've probably met some of them. They've come along. And honestly, I got to meet Glenn. That's really was an important factor here. Like the Elrods, they took me in and they feed me all the time, as you can tell. But it's different because they invited me to come to church, and it was like the week before Easter, and I chickened out, so I didn't go because I was still kind of like, the church, you know. But sixth grade, I started jumping back into it. So I was like, hey, maybe. And then I didn't go, and I didn't tell my mom about it because she would have been like, you got to go. But so the next week is Easter, and you can't miss Easter because anyways. So I went, and I just fell in love. Like, I don't know what it was about this place. It was, when you came in here, you were everyone's best friend. For like, it doesn't matter like who you were. If it was a 9-year-old lady or a 4-year-old like kid, you were their best friend. And it really didn't matter. They'd come up to you, they'd say hi, and then they'd come by with a little like chapstick and be like, "You are blessed." And I was like, "I am blessed." Okay, but it all made sense. Like being here, it all made sense. And so they asked me, or somewhere, I skipped over it. But I was supposed to say like, I told Heather I played the drums, and that was my biggest mistake, or whatever. But then I came and I played the drums here, and if it wasn't really playing the drums, it was more just like for like a month and of doing just that. And Stacy was kind of like, why don't you just move your arms and actually use the sticks that are in your hand instead of holding them by your lap? And I was like, that's a good idea, but should I draw attention to myself?
No, I shouldn't. That's a bad idea.
Anyways, so I played with Stacy, and in that, like, and the people that were there at the time was just, it was Glenn on the guitar, Pat Javier singing, Stacy on the piano, Anton on the keys, not the piano, why? And then Heather on bass and Michael on the rhythm guitar. And then so we just played for a couple months, and then I heard something like Stacy had to leave. I love Stacy so much. She was like, he was always welcoming to give you a hug whenever, and I love hugs. I'm just saying, I'm a huge teddy bear, whatever. My notifications are on. Anyways, so, and this lady comes along, like, walks into, like, one of our Thursday rehearsals, and I'm just thinking, like, she's wearing a trendy outfit, she's in heels, maybe it's, like, a youth member coming to sing, right? No, it was Dara. So Dara comes along, and she's like, yeah, let's start, I'm your new person, Stacy's leaving, I'm coming in, and so, like, they kind of played off each other for, like, I think it was, like, 3 weeks or something like that. And then Stacy departed. He didn't die. He just left. And so Dara came in, and she really took over. She strived what she was doing. And for a while, it was really impressive to me because she didn't just, like, know the band or know youth or know, like, the congregation. She knew, like, she wanted to know every single person. She took time out of her time, like, not when she was here, like doing rehearsal. She'd do that. But then after, she would take, like, dinner, like, froyo, just any ways to, like, get personally know you. And to me, that was amazing. And so we went along with that, and we were playing for a while. And then one day at church, Joseph Wright, I don't know where his mom is. Raise your hand. She's over there. And so he came up to me, and he was like, do you want to go to youth? And I'm thinking, I can't say no, because it'll be awkward, right? And then I have Holly over here who's like, you got to go. And I'm like, fine. And so I told him yes, and so I went. And it turned out I loved it, and that's where I got to meet all, like, my really close friends now, like the Perkins. I love them so much. Kaylee, Maddie, and my girlfriend Jordan. She's amazing. And honestly, it's just, like, to go back over with Dara, it's beyond me how well she wants to connect with every single person. Like, if you know it by experience, like, you could not have told anyone what's wrong, and she knows something wrong, even if you're playing your best, like, face, like. She just knows something wrong. Like, if you're just, like, smiling, she can tell that you're, like, something's wrong in your brain. Like, she's like, what's going on at home? Pulls you aside. Like, are you okay? Do we need to pray about it? And honestly, it's great. And now I'm going to college, and I was pretty nervous. But, you know, like, he's got me. So I wasn't too nervous, but still kind of scared. But it turns out some of my friends from Lakeland are going to Hardin Simmons, too. So, you know, God's pretty cool. And I'm really excited this fall, so that's where I am right now. Let's come back to my main point that Jeremiah makes is there's three people that have really helped me decide what I want to do in my life, and it's Brock Latham, my father Bill Batchelor, and my second dad Glenn Allrod. So Brock was my dad's best friend's son. So my dad Bill, his friend Kevin, was his son Brock. He was diagnosed with cancer, like, pretty early in his life. I've always known him having cancer. He passed away when he was very young, but Brock was one of my best friends. He showed me that love and compassion goes a long way for everybody, no matter what way it is. So he would smile, like, even in the most pain that he'd have, you being chemo, he'd be smiling, and he'd make the whole world light up. And it's like some sort of, like, experience. Like, some people just have that, like, when they smile or when they're happy or when they're sad, it either brings everyone up or everyone down. And to me, I was like, I want to be Brock. I want to be the person that, like, when he smiles, it's everyone's up. And I'm just, like, he loved everybody. No matter, he didn't know you as a new nurse. He, like, loved them to death. Like, they were, like, his best friend, like, the church. And I'm pretty sure everyone loved them back in the same way. But I saw, like, how mentally, like, just destroyed he was during, like, chemo and stuff, but then how much a huge difference a good nurse would make. And that's one of the big reasons I want to be a nurse, because, like, just seeing that difference for long-term care that it makes is, to me, insane. I feel like that's, like, a God moment, like, in and of itself, that long-term thing. It's not just a moment, but I guess it's, like a whole bunch of different moments in that person's life that make a huge difference. And then my father, he showed me how to be me and not to change for others, to stay true to myself. And he always said to me, like, it's kind of like be who you want to be, but not who other people want you to be. You got to stay true to yourself or it's just not going to work. And then Glenn, he taught me how to love everyone like a family and to really take people in when they need it. And, like, doesn't matter, like, who they are. If you, like, first impressions, you don't like them, you shouldn't have first impressions. You should just go and talk to them and see how they really are. And then I shouldn't have to be everyone's rock all the time. That it's okay to show emotions, okay to lean on someone else every now and then. And to fight when you feel like giving up. Because honestly, Glenn fought. Y'all know him. He wasn't giving up. He never wanted to. Like, if he could, he would still be here. Like, if it was his choice, but it's not. It's God's. And so, it's really hard, but Glenn affected everyone in this church, and I know he did. And that's one of the blessings that I've had in my life, is getting to meet Glenn. I wanted to thank a couple people before I gave the mic to Jordan. I want to thank Cindy, Holly, Heather, Hadley, and Vera Jo Bell, everyone else in the Elrod family. Just thank you guys for allowing me a second chance with a new dad, for sharing Glenn with me. And Dara, Noah, you guys and Pastor Mary Beth have made a huge difference in my faith in setting a new foundation for me and letting me build off a good foundation instead of a rocky one that I really didn't understand at first. And thank you for letting me learn what I want to learn, not what I want to learn, but like, let me like learn what I believe. You guys didn't force anything on me. You didn't teach me to a book. You just gave me the Bible and you told me what you believed and what you think it means and what other people believe, and let me pick my own decisions and see what I believe in my foundation, my own apologetic. I just want to say thank you guys so much, and Elrod's, thank you again. I love y'all so much.
Okay, I had to do this at the 8:30 service too, and I don't know how I go after that, so just bear with me. Okay, my name is Jordan Runte. I'm a senior at Flowermount High School, and I graduate next Saturday. Go Jags! I'm planning to go to NCTC next year and then finish my basic classes and transfer to a four-year university to study special education. I was asked to pick a verse that I would be talking about, and I chose Proverbs 31:25. Which says, "She is clothed in strength and dignity and lasts without fear of the future." I chose this verse because I find it to be very real in my own life. While I have always known in the back of my mind what I was supposed to do, everyone around me was stressing out about college and grades. I mean, don't get me wrong, like, I'm an average student, nothing extraordinary. But watching all of my peers go through all this stress kind of started to stress me out. I started to second-guess myself and wasn't sure if I really wanted to go to community college before attending a four-year university, or if teaching was even a good job because of the financial standpoint. However, last year I landed on exactly what I had wanted to do. Previously, I had wanted to be a second grade teacher, but for some reason, junior year, I found myself without a PE credit. I don't know why. By junior year, I hadn't taken a PE class yet. I don't know. So I signed up for the adaptive PE class with the special ed kids, where I was paired with a buddy. And to be completely honest with you, I only did it so I didn't have to run. I mean, the kids, they're great, and I'll get into that in a second, but I didn't want to run. And joke's on me, I run every Tuesday and Thursday, so it didn't work out. So last year I got a buddy, and his name is Lucas, and if you know my brother, he looks exactly like my brother. So it's really weird and a weird coincidence, but like same height, blonde hair, like they act kind of the same, but not really. They eat their sandwiches the same way, like they eat their bread and then the meat, like it's really weird. But Lucas, the buddy, is autistic, and he is the sweetest person I've ever met in my entire life. He's one of my favorite people. He gives me like 20 hugs every single day, and I'm not joking, like it's just constant. And if I miss a day of school or if I come in late, like last week I went in late and I didn't get a hug from him during second period. And I was like, oh my gosh, my day hasn't started yet. I got to go get a hug. So I went to his classroom and talked to him for a little bit. But then this year I signed up for the PE class again. I don't know why, man. I don't know. but I got a new buddy and I was kind of upset with it. I mean, I wasn't upset, but I was kind of like worried about it at first because I loved Lucas so much and I didn't want to like be in the same class as him and it'd be like kind of weird that I wasn't with him the whole time. But I have a new buddy and his name is Joshua, and he's also autistic, and he is the funniest person ever. I love him and he cracks me up on a daily basis. I learned so much through both of these boys and the other kids in my class, and they're the people who made me want to focus on teaching special needs kids in the future. But as I look into the new chapter and my future plans, I have such a peace of mind. I know this is exactly what I'm supposed to be doing in this stage in my life. Now that I've talked about the future, I want to talk to you about this church and kind of like the past. I've been going to youth ever since freshman year. I actually went to preschool here, but we just kind of came on like holidays and stuff. But freshman year, there was a Luke Bryan concert coming up on a Saturday, okay? And my mom was like, Jordan, you have to go to youth, or if you don't, you don't get to go to the concert. I was like, dang. So I was like, oh, I gotta go. And so I didn't really know anyone. I knew like the Perkins and my brother, but that was about it. And so I went in October, and it was, we were carving pumpkins. And my mom was like, Jordan, I promise you'll like Dara. And I was like, okay. And so I meet Dara, and she's like, hey, I'm Dara. Come to the car with me and get some pumpkins. I was like, okay. And so she's carrying, like, coffee, obviously. When does she not? But little did I know, like, how much she would actually mean to me now. When I came here, I became best friends with Maddie Butler, who's in the sound booth, and Kaylee Packer. I don't know where she is. She's over there. Messed me up. hold on. I got lost. Okay. They're the most amazing people I could ever ask for, and all of my mission trips are, like, some of my favorite memories because of them. So thanks, y'all, for sticking with me through the awkward freshman years. That was rough. I love you with my whole heart. Also, I met my boyfriend Ryan through this church, and I'm so, so grateful for that. Okay. These next two are going to be really hard to get through without crying, so bear with me. We are Dara's. Ian, Maddie, Ryan, and I are Dara's first seniors to, like, go through all 4 years of high school with her. I could go on and on about how amazing she is, but I'll try to keep it somewhat short. I have come such a long way since freshman year, and Dara and Noah have both been a huge part. Have played a huge part in who I have become, even though in the beginning I was really scared of Noah, I'm not going to lie. Like, the first time I met him, he was like, you can't be with your friend in the game, and I was like, okay, like, I'll just go by myself then. But from late-night adventures to Target, random dinners, long conversations, so many laughs, making so many headbands, going to see really sad romantic movies that are, like, really bad. I don't know why. They just ended up being, like, horrible. Sarcastic comments and constantly making fun of me. That one's at Noah, but I know it's in the best way. Truly, I cannot thank you both enough. I really believe if it wasn't for you, I would be nowhere near the person I am today. Whenever I need advice, I know I can always ask you guys. You're both amazing role models, and I feel so blessed to have met you. The fact that I call you Mom and Dad should really show how much I love you both. Thank you for loving me like I'm your own daughter. I am forever grateful for you. And, of course, my own parents. Thank you for everything. I appreciate you and love you so much. There are so many others who mean so much to me that go to church here, but I have to keep this somewhat short. So truly, thank you, Vista Ridge, for creating such an amazing family for me these past 4 years. I know you'll always have a home here. Now, really quick, Maddie, Ryan, Ian, and I wanted to give Dara something. So Dara, if you can come up really quick, I'll grab it. Okay, so there was one Target run that we went on like 2 years ago, I think it was a sophomore, and it was Father's Day weekend, and so Maddie and I thought it would be really funny to get these dad shirts, and hers says like best dad ever, and mine says all men are created equal, only a select few become dads. So when we went to Market Street today, they only had dad balloons, so that's what we got. But seriously, thank you for everything you've done for us. We love you a lot.
Excited to be here. Hello, guys. I'm Ian. I'm going to UT next semester. So let's see here. First things first, senior year has taught me how to procrastinate. On this as well. Only pulled this together day ago? We'll go with that. All right. Bear with me on that. I was going to make this funny, but then I woke up at O Dark 30, and there's nothing funny about that. So we're just going to stop there. All right. I'm going to try and give you guys a progression of my faith through this church for the past several years. It's been very important to me, of course, and important to this church as well. So just in perspective, some of my earliest memories of this church are from VBS, Sunday School, and for those of you who have been here long enough, Pioneer Club. So the scripture I thought was relevant to my journey was 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 through 10. This is Paul speaking. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong." So I didn't realize going into a lot of this, but I am not socially skilled all the time. And that turned out to later on become a big thing that was important, and we'll get to that in a moment. So, my first real important part of my journey, I would say, with this church began middle school when I got into the youth group. We went on the mission trip to Austin. That was my first mission trip. It was really cool. There was a lot of different fields we worked in. There was a food pantry, an adult daycare, etc. And this is where I realized that having different skills means you can do different things, and when you don't have those skills, you don't do as well as other people. So the social stuff, I was not as good at that. Meanwhile, on the second mission trip to Arkansas, we did roofing, painting. I can do that. I know how to use a hammer, especially at you, Dara. Sorry, that wasn't how I meant to say that. All right. All right. Anyways, I learned that from watching the chaperones that we all have different skills and we connect to our faith through different avenues, and we connect with each other through similarly through different avenues. So Michael I've always found to be a bit more rational and scripture-based. Reese was more experiential when he was around. And so I just began to start thinking about what my faith might look like and sort of how I'm going to connect with others, where Jesus is in how I meet that there in my personal space. And so then we move on to high school. High school, Reese moved out and Dara came in. And so then, again, mission trips were important to me. So the Virginia Beach mission trip is where some of the things I really started to learn got to meet the Dara and Noah. So, for example, Dara is highly musically inclined. I learned that. I also learned she's directionally challenged. Noah will get anywhere you need to go faster. Began to get a better picture of how I interact with other people in the youth groups. So that involved on the retreat and on the mission trips, playing a lot of games with Ryan, Noah, etc. that were really fun. They're cool, competitive. Getting to have late night conversations with some of our seniors, Jordan, Ethan, Joseph, all those people, I look up to them. It was interesting because I realized that I have a pretty good connection with all the people in the youth group. There was no, like, because sometimes I would say that certain people had smaller groups, and I was able to interact with everyone and enjoy conversing, and it was fabulous. I also, on these trips, began to start actually building a stronger personal relationship with Jesus. One of the notable things was Dara's one-on-one meetings she calls powwows. She'd pull us outside and talk with us and bring to us some words that she felt called to share with us, some scriptures. And so those, they were really good and they meant a lot to me. And so I got to pull away some scriptures. And so I continued to pick up my Bible and read through it and look for personal messages. And so I started to build a relationship based a lot in scripture. And then another big point, of course, that's been pulling me through all this is my family, both, of course, my physical family and my church family. I don't know where I'd be without either of them. They have taught me a lot, and one of the main points I would say is to stick with it, being able to remain thoughtfully engaged with this church and enjoy it. So, for example, 2017 was a really bad year for our family, at least in the beginning, because everything broke, and I'm not kidding when I say that. The garage door fell apart, the car broke on us, the hot tub broke on us, the washing machine broke, and then we broke my mother's foot trying to get another washing machine. It was like an incredible scream. Also, there was a rat infestation, which might have had to do something with a lot of the breaking. But anyways, all throughout that, we continued to come to church, pray, read the Bible. It was, you know, fabulous reminder that even small things, difficulties, to stay engaged. My mother and father have always been able to impart personal wisdom, reasons and such that they have, and so that's been really useful to me through some of my difficulties, especially going through, as I'll talk more, TAMS. Family debates, my brother always likes to argue with me, and so we'd enjoy getting some very interesting debates on faith and science and all sorts of stuff, and we'd discuss rationally, like, why do we think this, why is this true, not true, etc., and it was just fun. That was enjoyable. And then 2 years into high school, I got the brilliant idea to go to TAMS, Texas Academy of Math and Science. This is basically you go to college at UNT and quit high school. It's all college classes, and it's not easy. I learned a lot of stuff out there. For example, I learned that microwaving pancakes mix, and it doesn't make pancakes. There are classes at UNT on fields of math I have never heard of, and you probably haven't either. I'm not that smart. This is a big one. Driving on wet roads requires a reduction in speed. You can't drive like you're on the highway. I learned that one too late. Yeah, all right. But more importantly, throughout the first semester of TAMS, I didn't have a whole lot of friends. It was difficult for me socially because of the adjustments. I almost left because of this. But after a lot of effort, about a semester in, I had started to make some good friends. And so then this year has been very good to me because I've had a lot of friends, and so now it's been enjoyable. I've been going through classes. Senior year, I wouldn't say it's easy, but it's been good. My friends have had definitely problems. Juniors are struggling with this and that, and so turns out having a car, or at least when I did have a car, people would ask for rides. Hey, Ian, can I go to Walmart with you? Can I get some food? Yada, yada. And so I'd politely oblige them until eventually some of my friends were just asking for rides just so they could spend some time talking with me about their life problems or just to get some distraction from their life problems or whatever it was. And so I got time to devote some personal wisdom that I had learned, stuff, of course, that I built up through the past years through all the stuff I mentioned before on my faith. And so I didn't, like, it was just simple wisdom that I could say, hey, think about this, remember this, it's not always going to be easy, et cetera, the standard stuff. But I was also just there to listen. And so a few times people would, they would ask me about, like, where did I come from with this perspective? Where was my, what was I basing this on? And so I got to share some of my personal faith. And it's really important that I had the stuff that happened before, especially the rational debates, the scripture, all that, because TAMS is math and science. They love to argue. They also love rational debates. So I was able to meet them there with the rational thought processes that I've built. And so, yeah, it was just really interesting because I never expected to be doing any sort of sharing of the faith through the very close personal, like, social stuff. It's because I'm not that outgoing for some things. And, yeah, it's just been a very nice, interesting journey. I haven't expected how it all went, but, yeah. And so now, the moment y'all are all waiting for, and I'm waiting for as well, I am done, and we can move on to the next thing.